Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. I'm Olivia Hemstrott. This week's special offer is a three-part series titled Holy Ghost Worship and the New Diversities of Operations. Simply go online at mhgs.org to download. All messages are brought to you, free of charge, by the members of the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society and the partners of Andrew Hemstrott Ministries. Thank you for joining us.
Rich.
rich, really rich. God has made me really rich.
Yes.
Well, glory to God.
Amen.
Now's the time we have the opportunity to receive the tithes and offerings. Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. If you'd open with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Are you there? Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is light to us, and we can walk in it and be blessed because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, let's look here at verse 6. 6:6. Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. And communicate, you know what that means, right? Tell them what you don't like. Is that what it means? Let everyone that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Tell him what you don't like about him. Is that it?
No.
You'd think that was it sometimes. No, it means to communicate, means to participate in giving and receiving. The receiving would be in teaching, the giving would be financially. You understand?
Yes.
Now, verse 7, say verse 7.
Verse 7.
Be not deceived. Now, would he tell you to not be deceived if it was possible that you could be deceived? Mm-hmm. Or he wouldn't have had to say that. That would have been a waste of space. Mm-hmm. It's impossible for you to be deceived.
Yes.
So, no, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Does that sound good? Mocking God?
No.
Oh, goodness, no. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever, say whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
Whatsoever a man soweth, who's doing the sowing?
Oh, yeah.
The man, right? Who, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing. What do you think the well-doing here is?
Giving.
In the giving. Sometimes you can get weary of it. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in what? Due season. Now you understand things work like sowing and reaping. Have you ever heard that before? Has a farmer ever sowed anything and reaped something? Mm-hmm. What if he doesn't sow something? Is he going to reap something?
No.
Well, he'll probably just reap weeds. It'll be something, right? It's not what he wanted. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, as we have therefore opportunity. Say opportunity.
Opportunity.
Well, now's an opportunity, right? Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, what becomes before the reaping? The sowing comes before the reaping. Is this difficult? What comes before faith comes?
Hearing.
The hearing comes before the faith. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The sowing comes before the reaping. The saying comes before the power. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, you have to sow, you have to hear before you get the other things. Tithing comes before the windows of heaven opened unto you, right?
Yes.
And the devourer rebuked. This is our faith. You understand that? This is our faith. This is what we believe. Did I make all that stuff up, or did I get it right out of here?
Right out of here.
I have to preach that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get it. It is our faith. It's how we operate. Say, it's how I operate.
It's how I operate.
If you want God to operate financially for you, you got to get within his laws of operation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Or not. You don't have to. This is how the kingdom works. Remember Jesus said the kingdom. Remember. Remember Jesus said the kingdom works like a seed, as if a man sowed seed. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
What's he going to reap? The thing that he sowed.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to judge how much you get to sow? Well, you get to. Anyway, isn't this fun? So is there reaping according to the Bible without the sowing?
No.
No! No. So if we want to reap more, God tells us in our faith that we have to sow more.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
So if we want to reap something, let's say next year I want to reap something. Mm-hmm. Right? What do I have to do this year? Sow. What if I want to reap something next month? Which is usually more likely the way it is. Right?
Yes.
What do you got to do? According to the kingdom of God, don't get mad at me. Or get mad at me. I don't care. What do you have to do? You have to sow. And then you reap. There is no reaping without sowing. All right, go with me to Hebrews. I'll make this quick. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you don't hear the word on prosperity, then how are you going to get there? A lot of people won't preach it because people get offended over it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't get offended, especially if God speaks to you to give something. I tell you, I get the happiest when God does that. Because I know he's trying to set me up to get me somewhere that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
He's not telling you to sow something that's not going to work.
Right.
Prove me now herewith, right?
Amen.
Hebrews 6, you find it? I won't read all of Hebrews 6 because... Oh, goodness. Hebrews 6, let's look at, verse 12. And be not slothful, but followers, but followers of them who through faith, say faith.
Faith.
Our faith, right? Faith and patience inherit the promise. It takes patience sometimes, doesn't it? Because you didn't get it when you thought you were going to get it. But so what do you, if you don't get it when you thought you were going to get it, what are you going to do? I'm going to give up and go the other direction. No, you're going to have faith and patience. Remember, Jesus said, when he returns, is he going to find gummy bears on the earth? Wrong. No, is he going to find faith on the earth? Well, faith without works is dead, so we got to have somebody who's holding on to the patience. And it's hard to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you like to be patient? In our day and age, especially not. I hate it. I hate being patient. I want it now. I want it yesterday, frankly. Mm-hmm. But that's not how faith works.
Right.
In the end, or longer down the road, you reap. Are you here?
Yes.
So anyway, and I've been saying over the last several weeks, you know, those who are faithful have been faithful, that there is a next level. He said, take them to the next level. Say the next level.
The next level.
The next level of prosperity. Now, that might be something for any one of you. There's levels and cushions. Are you here? If you want to go to the next level, you have to be faithful over the level that you're on. Are you here?
Yes.
So in Psalms 112, I'll have you turn there. Why not? Pretty quick with the Bibles. You see, I'm not making this up. I'm not preaching anything that I haven't preached 1,000 times. But faith comes by hearing and hearing. Mm-hmm. Means you got to hear twice.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Right.
Anyway. Oh, glory be to God forever. Let's look at verse, did I tell you a chapter? Psalms 112 and verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. You suppose giving, receiving, and speaking over it is righteousness? Yes, I can show you other places, we don't have time. But he's acting in righteousness. He said wealth and riches. Say, and riches.
And riches.
Why did he say wealth and riches? He could have just said riches. He could have just said wealth. Because there's another level. There's another layer. Oh, I hope you're listening. I can't get much louder. I guess I could use a microphone. Wealth and riches shall be in your house. So the Spirit tells me that you need to say these words regularly. Wealth and riches be. Did I make that up? Oh, look at this. It says, wealth and riches shall be in your house. What do you say to your house? What are you calling into your house?
Wealth and riches.
We'll never make it. It's too thin of a line. We can't make it. We're trying to make ends meet. Is that what you say? No, you say, wealth and riches be in my house. You got to call it. Have I ever preached on this? You got to call things that be not as though they were. And you'll never get to the next level without being obedient on the level you're at and then calling for the next level to come and visit you. Are you here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, wealth and riches be. Say this after me. Wealth,
wealth
and riches,
and riches
be
in
my house.
In my house.
And you don't give it a choice. You tell it. Are you here?
Yes.
You got to call it. You got to say it. You got to tell it. Anyway, so if you have your tithe and offering, just hold it in your hand. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you're blessing these people right now and that your anointing is entering into their finances and beginning to break things up that have been holding them back. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Say this after me. Wealth,
wealth
and riches,
and riches
be
in my house,
be in my checking accounts,
in my checking accounts,
be
everywhere,
everywhere
I go
and come to me,
and come to me
in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I can feel your presence strong. one's drawing closer to me.
You are God. you didn't know it, you need to open up your mouth and taste some. Anyway, are you here? Are you happy?
Yes.
You want to turn to 1 Peter. That's where we're going first. God is good. Did you worship the Holy Ghost today? At some point in the day, did you say the words, "I worship you, Holy Ghost"? Oh, why would I do that? Because we worship the Holy Ghost here. I don't know if you noticed that or not. And that'll get him involved. He'll pay attention. He'll look at you. And he'll come and start doing things for you. It's true. Say, it's true.
It's true.
All right. Anyway. So did you find it? Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are God in the earth today. We get to walk with you by saying words. I thank you that you're doing things right now in my life. I thank you that you're doing things in people's lives right now. I thank you that you've anointed me for this message, and I ask you anoint the ears of the hearers so they can hear what the Spirit is saying to them today. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen. Hallelujah. So 1 Peter... Yay, glory be to God. You don't mind if I have a nice time, right?
No.
I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be anywhere. Hallelujah. And so much the better if people listen. Anyway, so I've begun a series. What series have I begun? You know, I've done three messages on it already. Why we worship the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Why we worship the Holy Ghost. Well, a lot of people don't. You understand?
Yes.
If you say, "Oh, I worship the Holy Ghost," well, people be like, "Whoa, wait, what is all that all about?" Well, they don't understand that He's God. If they knew Him as God, they would worship Him. No, anyway, this is number four. Say number four.
Number four.
Now, most of you here have heard all this stuff before, but we're doing this for a reason. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Yay, glory be to God forever. There, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one we've read. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Well, in our dispensation, who would that be?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Sanctify the Holy Ghost, the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always. What? To give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we need to be ready to give an answer to why we worship the Holy Ghost. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I know that most people, even watching here, most people don't. Most people don't worship the Holy Ghost. Most churches don't, even though their doctrine allows for it and tells them to. Did you know that? I went over that last week. I can't go over everything again. You understand? So this message and this series of messages for those who do worship the Holy Ghost, right? Mm-hmm. This message is for those who do worship the Holy Ghost. It'll give you answers to describe why you worship the Holy Ghost to people who ask, according to 1 Peter 3:15. And for those of you who don't yet worship the Holy Ghost, of which there are many, this will give you reasons to start. Are you here? Faith comes by hearing. If they hear the preaching, then they can know who God is in the earth today. By the way, the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with Him by saying words. Now, I realize you've probably heard that 1,000 times because I say it almost every week, right? But that is a massive amount of revelation to the regular guy walking down the street. They don't know that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. Well, we've been walking them down a trail to show them why we worship the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today. Are you here? So number one, you remember any of this? The number one reason why we worship the Holy Ghost is because He's God. Yeah, you see, you should worship God. Right? They just don't know He's God in the earth today. Otherwise, they'd worship Him.
That's right.
If they're going to worship, well, some people don't worship anything except their iPhones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, He's God. Number one, why we worship the Holy Ghost He's God, and he's as God as much as Jesus is or the Father is. In fact, he has more precedence now because it's his dispensation. You understand?
Yes.
Number two, he, the Holy Ghost, is the one that Jesus sent to be with you. Really? Yeah. Jesus left and sent another. That's number two. That was the second message. Who did he send? He sent the Holy Ghost, who is God, from heaven into the earth, and he's still here today. You understand? Now, John 14, 16 says, I will send another. Remember that? Jesus said, I will send another. Well, you can't have another of something until you've had the first one. Are you here? I want another cookie. Did you have one? No, but I want another one. You might want another one, but you still have to have the first one first.
That's right.
Are you here? I will send another. Do we need to look this up? I don't think so. It's John 14, 16. You can look it up at home if you want. Well, in Matthew 1, 23, what was one of the names of Jesus? Think, Matthew. Beginning of Matthew 1, 23. What do they call Jesus? What did Emmanuel mean? God with us. Are you here? Is Jesus with us?
No.
No, Jesus left, you see. But when Jesus was here, he was called God with us. Then he said, I'm going to send another. Are you here? Is this difficult?
No.
He's going to send another. Who would the another be? The Holy Ghost, what would he be? God with us. He's sending another. This can't be that difficult. All right. Just another reason why we worship the Holy Ghost. He's God with us. And if you met him, you'd know that.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
God with us. Jesus isn't with us. He sent another. Had to be gone to send the another. The another is the Holy Ghost. He is God with us now. Jesus isn't God with us now. Jesus is gone and is at the right hand of the Father. Many scriptures say that. And he sent the another God with us, another like him, person, God, Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth today. We worship him. Are you here? So did he send him? Yes, he sent him. He's still with us. Is it still with you? Yes, it's still with me. He's still with me. And it's his time and his dispensation. That's number three. When he came into the earth on the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent him. He came into the earth and he hasn't left. It's still his time. Say his time.
His time.
It's his time to shine. It's his time to do whatever he needs to do. He has carte blanche to be able to do whatever he wants to do. It's his will. He's God. Are you here?
Yes.
He has full dispensational authority. That was last week's message. Remember that? 1 Corinthians 12, 11. Let's just look that up real quick. Why we worship the Holy Ghost? Well, it seems strange that you worship the Holy Ghost. Well, that's because you don't know who God is. If you knew who he was, you'd worship him too. And so would your church. Why don't they? That's my question. Oh, why do you worship the Holy Ghost? Why don't you? Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, number three, it's his time, it's his dispensation, it's his age. Ooh, he has full dispensational authority. 1 Corinthians 12. Are you there?
Yes.
Let's look at verse 11. But all these, say all these.
All these.
All these, and he included in this whole thing all the gifts of the Spirit, all the administrations of the Spirit, all the operations of the Spirit, all the gifts of the Spirit, and including being born again. All of these, right?
Yes.
All the way down to verse 11. But all these, verses 1 through 11, worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. He's a self, he's an individual, he has a will, and he works all of these things. Well, if he's working them all, then no one else is, because if he's doing it, are you here? He's the only part of the Godhead in the earth today. Holy Ghost, worship him. get good at it. There's benefits. That's what we're gonna talk about today. I hope you're excited about it. Good. I'm glad I got in on this message with the benefits, because that's what I want, the benefits. I agree, you want the benefits, right? Are you here? Am I just being loud? No. Sometimes I don't know. All these work if that one. Say that one.
That one.
What one? That one, that self same spirit. So he's a self, dividing this every man severally or individually as he wills. It's his will, and he's the one doing it. And last week I showed you several scriptures that that's how it goes. That's how it goes down. Holy Ghost does it. Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost looks at you, gives you things. Holy Ghost moves on you, and you understand something that you didn't understand before. You could even get born again. The Holy Ghost moves on you. In fact, if he doesn't move on you, you don't get born again. You understand? Holy Ghost. Anyway. In fact, the only part of the Godhead in the earth today is the Holy Ghost doing things. So why we worship the Holy Ghost, number four. See, I went through that pretty quick, didn't I? Not bad. I could have labored out all these things. Would you like me to go over them again? No, I went through them quickly. Number four, why we worship the Holy Ghost. Because of the liberties, say the liberties.
Liberty.
The liberties found in him that can't be found anywhere else. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. You're in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Glory be to God forever. You there? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now we went through all of those things, why we worship the Holy Ghost. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. Now the Lord is that Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, or other translations, and I kind of like it, says, where the Spirit is Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you mean? Where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty. You see? You see?
Yes.
Where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty. Where who's Lord? The Spirit. Who's the Holy Ghost? Who's the Spirit? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit. He's the living God. And where he's Lord, there's liberty. Well, if he's Lord, you're worshiping him. Do you understand?
Yes.
But we all, with open face, yeah, open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the who? The Lord. Well, what if you don't know who the Lord is? You're not going to be beholding him. The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So, number one, the first benefit of worshiping the Holy Ghost would be being changed. Well, I don't want to be changed. Look at me. I'm really good. Yeah, you're good, but you could be better. We're going from good to great, glory to glory. He didn't say from disgusting to glory, did he? And later he goes, good, good, acceptable, perfect. See, you're good, but he's going to take you from that to the next level of glory. How do you go to the next level, may I ask? By worshiping the Holy Ghost, because by worshiping him, you're beholding him. In fact, where it says, beholding as in a glass the glory, those words could be translated the worship of the Lord. While you're beholding, you're worshiping him. Are you here? Anyway, so there are liberties found in worshiping the Holy Ghost that can't be found anywhere else. Here it says, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. So there's liberties in that. Do you believe that? There's liberties in the Holy Ghost that can't be accessed outside of worshiping the Holy Ghost. All right, so you begin to be changed. Is this true? Mm-hmm. Have you done it? When you worship the Holy Ghost, he begins to change you. Now, I should warn people, maybe I'll do a little more warning here in a minute, but he changes you, which means you're not the same that you were before he changed you. Mm-hmm. When you change your clothes, are you wearing the same clothes? I hope not. come in the house, you're all stinky and disgusting, and you go change your clothes, but really all you did was put on a new pair of clothes over your old clothes. Nobody does that, I hope, right? You're changed by worshiping the Holy Ghost. It's the number one thing he begins to do. Are you here? We're talking about benefits of why we worship the Holy Ghost. And that way, it's a really, this is a good one, because people go, well, you're different. Why are you so different? Why do you believe all these different things that nobody else seems to be believing, mm-hmm. even though it's in their doctrine? Right. Why do you believe and do that? Because I've been changed. My mind has been renewed. Are you here? Mm-hmm. So you begin to be changed from glory to glory, from good to great. A lot of people are happy with the good, so they never go to the great, right? But sometimes you have to sacrifice the good to get to the great. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you don't give up in the middle. Right? Mm-hmm. Then you're just sad. Okay. All right, Galatians. Are there a lot of sad Christians out there? Oh, yeah. Goodness. Why so sad? Why the long face? You know, you always say that to a horse, if you ever meet a horse. Why the long face? Because they have a long face. Are you here? So Galatians chapter 3. Yay, whoo! Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at, let's look at verse 2. This only, say only.
Only.
This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Right? That was a question. What do you think the answer was? Did they receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It was by the hearing of faith. Very good. They received who? The Spirit by the hearing of faith. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Say, begun in the Spirit.
Begun in the Spirit.
So he says, this only would I learn of you, having begun in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Where do you begin?
In the Spirit.
This life. You begin it in the Spirit, which would have to be with the Spirit. Are you here? Mm-hmm. And if you knew the Spirit was God, what would you do? You'd worship Him. Having begun in the Spirit. This only would I learn of you. So I have other messages on this, but when you use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, it's going to the beginning. Are you here? Did you see that? This only would I learn of you. Did you begin? The problem is people have begun other places, and therefore they're continuing in some other place. You have to begin with the Holy Ghost. It's like homeroom. You still have homeroom? You got to go to homeroom and you get your attendance marked, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't been there in so long. I used to squeak in at the last minute. The bell would literally be ringing and I'd have to go past two classes and get in my seat.
Yeah.
Easy. That's how I knew I was on time. Homeroom. It's like homeroom. Using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, or worshiping God the Holy Ghost, is like going to homeroom. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of school. Do you have homeroom at the end of school during the day? No. Or I definitely would have missed it. Homeroom, it's where you begin. You meet the teacher in homeroom. Are you here? Who are you going to meet? Who's the teacher? The Holy Ghost is the teacher. You got to go to homeroom and meet the teacher. Oh, he's God? Oh, I worship you, Holy Ghost. Are you here?
Yes.
You're introduced to the teacher. In Acts, you don't have to turn there, Acts 11, verse 12 through 16, Peter calls receiving the Holy Ghost, or when the Holy Ghost came, the beginning. You say, oh, it began way, way before. No, Peter called it the beginning. Here, Paul in Galatians 3 is calling it the beginning. Where's homeroom? Where do you begin? With the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Are you here?
Yes.
John 14:20, you don't have to turn there, but he says he will teach you all things. I will send another, and he, the Holy Ghost, will teach you all things. Say, teach me.
All things.
Now, with all things include the beginning things.
Yeah.
You would hope so. The problem is people have gone years and years. I would say most people have never worshipped the Holy Ghost, right? And he's God in the earth today. So they've gone years. I tell you, I've gone years. And then as I began to worship the Holy Ghost, he began to rearrange my thinking and my doctrine to understand who he is. He's the teacher. Are you here?
Yes.
The first things, the beginning things. Does he teach the first things and the beginning things? Jesus said he would teach you all things. Is it possible that people could be taught some stuff that wasn't necessarily true, and then they get halfway down the road and they need to rebuild it again? Is that possible? You want to know how possible it is? It is so possible. Most people are there. And when that's why a lot of people reject worshiping the Holy Ghost, because it's been built on a wrong foundation. Are you here? So is there any benefit? We're talking about benefits of why we worship the Holy Ghost. Is there any benefit to worshiping the teacher who teaches you all things, including the beginning things? Yeah, if we'd started out this way, we wouldn't be as messed up as we are. Well, I'm not messed up. Well, then you've been worshiping the Holy Ghost a lot, because he has to straighten things out. So anyway, benefits. And with the benefits, I give you a warning before I mention these next things. With the benefits of worshiping the Holy Ghost, I must warn you, he will change your thinking. He will cause you to go outside the camp many times. Think of this: if the camp isn't worshiping him and you're worshiping him, where do you have to go? Outside the camp. Are you getting this? He'll take you outside the camp, because the words "I worship you, Holy Ghost" are not found anywhere inside the camp. I've looked, even though their doctrine allows for it, which I showed you last week, right? So using the words "I worship you, Holy Ghost," why do we do it? He begins one of the benefits, and again, it's a warning too, because a lot of people hold tightly and preciously to what they think they believe, right? And then he starts to mess with it. One of the benefits is he rewrites the code. As you're worshiping him, he will rewrite your code. I'll just throw one out there, and you can be mad at me if you want. How many people do you know have a personal relationship with Jesus, that say they have a personal relationship with Jesus and they live their life like that? Is that scriptural?
No.
Who do you have a personal relationship with? The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. You receive what Jesus did. No, actually, you believe what Jesus did, and you receive the one Jesus sent. He's the Holy Ghost. You have a personal relationship with the Holy Ghost, who's also the living God. You understand that? The Bible specifically calls the Holy Ghost the living God. Maybe we should just say that those people will go, well, I worship the living God. They'd probably be all right with that. You worship the living God. He's the Holy Ghost. I worship him. He's the living God. And they'd be like, oh, I don't know about that. But they're all right with this religious concoction that they have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I understand. Are you kidding me? I understand. Yes, Jesus knows who you are, and you know who Jesus is. But on a daily basis, he's not in your pocket walking around with you. Are you here? Am I just irritating people? I don't know. I'm trying to clarify things of why we worship the Holy Ghost. He's the living God. He's in the earth today. Are you here? So he will begin to rewrite your thinking. He'll begin to rewrite your code. He'll begin to give you a brand new Bible, and all those things that you thought were true, he'll begin to change them. and you'll see scriptures that you never saw before. Who does this? The Holy Ghost. It's his job. You're just allowing him to, because you're giving him place in your life by worshiping him. Anyway, let's continue on. 1 Corinthians 12. Yay, glory be to God forever. First Corinthians 12, let's look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. Who's the same God?
The Holy Ghost.
He's working all in all. Mm-hmm. Who is? The Holy Ghost. He's God. He's working. He's the same God that's working all in all. Right? And he said there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, the same Lord. Verse 6, there are diversities of operations. Say diversities of operations. Diversities means differences, and the operations means effect. Right? But it's a thing. And worshiping the Holy Ghost is a diversity of operation that has a different effect than other things do. Can you understand that? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the series we're offering this week, right? The diversities of operations. Worshiping the Holy Ghost is a diversity of operation that has a different effect than anything else does. What are the effects? The effects are benefits. You being changed. Are you here? So the effect is you get a new Bible, you get scriptures that are now weighted towards the Holy Ghost, and when you see God and Lord, you don't automatically put Father and Jesus there, because it's weighted toward the Holy Ghost in his dispensation. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And which changes the meaning of that verse of scripture. Worshiping the Holy Ghost has a different effect on you. Say on me. So when you're worshiping him, he doesn't need to, does he need to change? No, you're changed into his image. You're changed into what he wants you to be. That means you change. And the effect is you have a different Bible. You now realize that it's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. Right? People will say that, oh, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. Well, did he or didn't he? You have a relationship with him? Yes, it changes things. And then you walk with God, the Holy Ghost, as God in the earth today. Is that any different than what most people are doing? Mm-hmm. It's enormously different than what most people are doing. Anyway, that's the effect that worshiping the Holy Ghost has on you. Go to Romans chapter 12. See if we can wrap this up. So when you wake up in the morning, go, good morning, Holy Ghost, I worship you. How accurate is that? That's pretty accurate. Doesn't mean you can't talk to the Father or Jesus, but the one in the earth is the Holy Ghost. He's the one you walk with.
That's right.
Thank you. Romans chapter 12. You there? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you now hear what, who would this be weighted towards? As I just read, the mercies of God. Whose mercies would that be? Holy Ghost. He's God in the earth today. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Who are we presenting your body to?
The Holy Ghost.
Why would that? Because he's God, he's in the earth, he and you are his temple. There's specific scriptures that say that. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You're presenting your body to the Holy Ghost, which is your reasonable service. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, reasonable service could be translated what? I know I've said this 100 times, maybe 85 times. Spiritual worship. Yeah, worship. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Presenting your bodies, right? Holy, acceptable unto the Lord. Your spiritual worship, worshiping the Holy Ghost. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but if I do this, if I worship the Holy Ghost, I won't be conformed to the world, but I will be transformed. Mm-hmm. Changed again, remember? One glory to the next glory. Changed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mean, your mind wasn't as new as it is now after you worshiped him. My mind wasn't thinking the way it should have been until after I worshiped him. It was better. Are you here? Mm-hmm. What are some of the benefits of worshiping the Holy Ghost? He renews your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who? God the Holy Ghost, who's in you, who's with you, who you walk with. You're proving his will, being changed from good to acceptable to perfect. Well, you can't get to perfect. No, you can't, because you don't worship the Holy Ghost. He said how you're going to get there. You're going to go from one to the next by worshiping the Holy Ghost. Are you here? Anyway, good to acceptable. So if you continue, he will perfect that which concerns you. Say, the Holy Ghost will perfect that which concerns me. Now. Exactly. Now. I like that. What is he going to perfect? What is God's will? We're talking about his will. Good, acceptable, perfect will. Is it his will to heal you of every sickness and every disease? Yes. Does he do it through the vehicle of using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. He takes you from one level of health to the next. Yeah. How about prosperity? It's possible. Is it his will that you prosper? It is his will that you prosper and be in health. So it's his will that you prosper to take you to the next level. Worship will take you to the next level of prosperity. Worshiping who?
Holy Ghost.
You see? You getting this? Mm-hmm. What would the perfect be? How about perfect health? Would we like to go there? Mm-hmm. How about perfect prosperity? Ooh. You know, pray thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's the perfect. We're bringing it here. How do we bring it here? By worshiping the Holy Ghost. I hope you're getting this. Some of the benefits of why we worship the Holy Ghost, or why we worship the Holy Ghost, because of the benefits. I don't know about you. I'm just that way. Call me selfish. You know, you got to be selfish somewhat to even get saved. Right? Yes. But I worship the Holy Ghost because of the benefits. I worship him because he's God, number one, and I need to, but I worship him because of the benefits. And when I worship him, he changes me. He changes my thinking. He gives me revelation. He causes me to glow in the dark. I like it. Are you here? Uh-huh. Romans chapter 14. We're in Romans, right? Romans chapter 14, reasons why we worship the Holy Ghost, because of the benefits. Look at this, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God. Well, knowing what we know now, who could I say this is saying? The kingdom of Holy Ghost. Have you ever said that before? Get used to it. The kingdom of Holy Ghost. Whose kingdom is it? Holy Ghost. The kingdom of Holy Ghost is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where's the kingdom of God? In the Holy Ghost. Right? When we're worshiping the Holy Ghost, we're worshiping him and his kingdom. Is there any benefit to that? Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God. Is there a benefit to the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. Sure, unless you just have it in your imagination that it's off somewhere and you don't get to access it until you die and go to heaven, which is where most people are. But we access it now. Say, I access it.
I access
now,
it.
By worshiping the Holy Ghost. Are you here? Yes. Is that a benefit?
Yes.
The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Specifically says the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Righteousness, peace, and joy. And righteousness, is there any benefits of being right with God?
Yes.
It's part of what righteousness is. We take it a step further, saying the right things. You understand that? The righteousness of faith says, but being right with God. How can you be right with God when you don't worship God? You don't know who He is. Is there any benefit to being right with God? Yeah, according to the kingdom of God, yes. Go to Matthew chapter 6. We'll try to end with this. Good, brother. I was praying you'd end soon. Matthew chapter 6. I don't know where that weird southern accent came from. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew, are you there? Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 33, lest we get caught up in stuff. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you here? Mm-hmm. In our dispensation, we can say, seek ye first the kingdom of who's God in the earth today? The Holy Ghost. Seek ye first the kingdom of Holy Ghost and His righteousness, or how you are to be right with Him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here comes the benefit: all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things He talked about earlier. What you would eat, what you would wear, what you put on, all these things, right? All the things the Gentiles seek. Mm-hmm. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We just read that the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost, and we read that God is the Holy Ghost in the earth today. So the kingdom of Holy Ghost and His righteousness, being right. There is nothing righter than worshiping God and using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost. You get this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes you so far. You could be bumble, 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 bumble along, bumble along, and go, I worship you, Holy Ghost, and He'll just pick you up and move you to the end of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why does He do that? You think God likes people that worship Him?
Yes.
If the Holy Ghost is God and He's in the earth today, will He like you if you worship Him?
Mm-hmm.
Will He favor you above someone else that doesn't worship Him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, yes. Reasons why you should worship the Holy Ghost. If you use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, you'll be in right standing with God because you are the worshiper and He's the one being worshiped. Are you getting this?
Yes.
You're right standing in front of His face. You have His attention. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to get God's attention? Worship Him. Worship Him. I worship you. You know, some of my most successful times in worshiping Him is when I've been an idiot. And I say, God, I've been an idiot, but I worship you. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
What does He do? He moves you to the front of the class. Because the other ones aren't worshiping Him. They're throwing spitballs at each other.
That's right.
It increases His favor towards you. He looks at you. You have His attention. And it increases His favor towards you. It gives you access to the kingdom that no one else has. How many of you heard me preach on the room of Holy Ghost worship? You enter a room that other people can't go in. Why? Because it is an operation of the Spirit that's different from other operations of the Spirit, and therefore it takes you to a different place. Holy Ghost worship takes you to a different place. Now, I will share this just because, why not? No one really left yet. So in Psalms 34 verse 7, I promise I will end with this. I just wanted to mention it because sometimes I felt like this was going to be one of those things I would get rebuked for if I didn't. Are you here? So not only when you use the words "I worship you, Holy Ghost," you get his attention. You understand that? Mm-hmm. You got to have his attention first. You got to have his attention. That's why it's so important what you say after you have his attention. Make sure you have your words straight. You don't want to offend him and make him upset. Well, the Holy Ghost doesn't get upset. I could take you to many scriptures where the Holy Ghost got upset. The Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit of God, right? He gets grieved. You don't want to be the one doing that. You want to be the one with his favor and then saying things that are in agreement with him. That's righteousness, right? You have his attention, he increases his favor towards you, and he gives you access to the room of Holy Ghost worship that people that don't worship the Holy Ghost can't go there. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Now, I wrote down here, I said angelic activation. Are you there in Psalms 34. Well, I guess I'll just tell you, I was in this place of worshiping the Holy Ghost, and you do. It's like a room. You go into a room, and there's things in there that other people aren't allowed to experience. Like it or not, that's the way it is. Well, when I was in there, an angel spoke to me. And again, you know, you can believe this stuff or not, whatever. I just have to say it. I was in there, an angel spoke to me, and he said, I don't have anything to do with people who don't worship the Holy Ghost. He's in this room of worshiping God, and he's an angel, are you here? Mm-hmm. That doesn't have anything to do with people who don't worship the Holy Ghost or don't worship God. So here's an angel that could be doing things for you, but he won't do things for you because you won't worship God. What do you think the solution to that is? Worship God, and you'll be able to activate the angels who just don't do things for people who don't worship God. Mm-hmm. Brother, you're making stuff up. No, I'm not. Where do we turn? Psalms 34, mm-hmm. verse 7. Are you there? Mm-hmm. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. So here's an angel that camps around somebody that what? Fears him. If you look up the word fear, it means to reverence. Great reverence. And I was like, okay, well, and so I looked that up in online in the dictionary. I do that sometimes. Guess what it said? To respect someone to the degree, almost to the degree of worship. That's what fear means. To respect someone almost to the degree of worship. Well, of course, they were talking about people almost to the degree of worship. To fear the Lord is just another way of saying worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. Are you here? I'm thinking maybe in later message I'll develop that farther. But the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge. We just talked about that today. It's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the worship of the Lord. Who's the Lord in our day? Now the Lord is that Spirit. Here it says, well, look at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. It's one of the benefits of worshiping the Holy Ghost. Oh, worship the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to them that worship him. Am I making this up?
No.
And then he says, up in verse 7, the angel of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that worship him and delivers them. Who does he deliver? Them that worship him. And that's exactly what he said to me. He said, I don't have anything to do with people who don't worship God. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, all right, whatever. I'm going over here now. But he wouldn't have told me that. And then I found this scripture. Are you here?
Yes.
So you have angels that are activated. We'll use that word. I don't know if it's good or not. But they're activated to do things for you when you worship God. All you have to do is sit there and say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost, and you'll have angels that encamp around you that will deliver you from poverty. They'll deliver you from debt. They'll deliver you from sickness and disease. They'll deliver you from stupid thinking. They'll even deliver you from ugliness. Yeah, right? Are you getting this? They'll make you beautiful. He said, worshiping the beauty of holiness. I better stop. Are you here? So anyway, glory be to God forever. So let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I thank you that people have learned why they should worship the Holy Ghost. I ask you to seal these words in them and that they begin worshiping you. And this says the Spirit, thus says the Spirit of God, if you will worship me and daily bring your offerings to me through worship and praise, I will begin to manifest myself to you. My angels will minister to you, and you will be, those things that have concerned you and bothered you will be taken out of the way. Miraculously, in Jesus' name, amen.
He's a living personality. He walks and he talks with you and me. He speaks the word to set you free. He is my new reality. He's a living personality. He walks and he talks with you and me. He speaks the word to set you free. He is my new reality.
Single day in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.